Ian Morrison, the rental man, is with 101.5 again this morning. And as usual, there's a bee in his bonnet. Not that Ian wears one, but you know what I mean. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Deb. Good morning, listeners.
Ian, we have heard that there are now more government regulations for those wanting to sell their properties.
Yes, Deb. A bloke should learn to keep his mouth shut sometimes. For a while now, I've been saying that appointing an agent is harder than signing a contract of sale these days. The appointment form is 16 pages long, and that's double-sided, and full of questions and notes that have to be completed over three sections with signatures required on all of them, some of which, quite frankly, have nothing to do with the actual services the agent is being contracted to perform, as opposed to the contract of sale, which is also 16 pages long, but a lot simpler in format and information required with a single signature from both parties. We now have a new seller disclosure form that adds another seven pages to the process and must be provided to the buyer before they sign the contract. This form comes into effect on the 1st of August, so just around the corner, really.
Wow. Sounds like a bit of a good old paper war then, Ian. What sort of information is required on the disclosure form?
Quite a lot, Deb. Starting off with the actual title search, which shows the registered owners of the property, and a copy of the survey plan, which identifies the lot and plan number, the land boundary and dimensions as well. It then goes on to require all registered and unregistered encumbrances and also statutory encumbrances. Do you start to get the picture of the web of information required, Deb? And then moves on to zoning, any transport proposals or resumptions, contamination and environment protections, tree orders, any heritage protections under the World Heritage List, and the list goes on, Deb. They also require full disclosure of current tenancy details, including the community management statement and a body corporate certificate detailing the lot entitlement for units, swimming pool certificates, any licensed or unlicensed building works, any unsatisfied notices or orders under the Building Act 1975 or the Planning Act 2016, a copy of all of these which must be provided with the form. Also, of course, rates and water notices, invoices as well.
Oh my goodness, quite the list, Ian. So how do the owners or agents go about sorting all this out?
Well, essentially, Deb, what the government's doing is passing on all these searches with the associated fees and charges onto sellers. Most, if not all, these searches would previously be done by the buyers or their solicitors during the normal due diligence period once the contract was underway. Now, bear in mind that a buyer can terminate the contract at any time before settlement or possibly have an action for compensation after settlement if the disclosure is found to be inaccurate or worse, untruthful. So the only sensible approach will be for sellers to appoint and instruct a conveyancing solicitor to undertake this work and provide the disclosure statement as part of their conveyancing services prior to listing for sale. They will then give the form to their agent at the same time as appointing them to sell their property. It all just adds up to the cost of selling, and if the government somehow doesn't think that sellers will not pass these costs on to buyers when negotiating the final contract, then they must be as silly as we sometimes consider them to be, mate. End users always pay. So this new impost will just be another complication in what used to be, quite frankly, a fairly simple process, Deb.
Thanks, Ian. Always a pleasure listening to your insights. That was Ian Morrison, the rental man, fleshing out the details on the new seller's disclosure form coming into effect today. Thanks for joining us, Ian, and keeping our community connected. Keep yourself updated by checking out the podcast on 101.5fm.com.au.